Hello everyone, this is Kelly Beard of KarmicTools.com, and tonight we are gathered for the Power Circle Monthly Community Event. We pick a subject every month to dive into, and tonight's subject is Super Moons for the year of 24. But first we're going to anchor and unify the circle, do a little quick breath work, call in the four directions, and anchor this sacred space. Let go of today and later tonight and tomorrow and be here now and open to receive that which is just for you. I am inviting our benevolent angels and loving ancestors and Orisha, personal animal guides and helping spirits to be with us tonight. We each have a powerful invisible team of support that's even more potent when we bring them together like this. So I want us to take an initial breath, deep breath in, connecting above, below, and at the heart. Deep breath in. And hold and release. We're going to start at the heart chakra, honoring the direction of east, an initiation point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the mind and the element of air. And I want you to picture a beautiful emerald green crystal spinning brightly, infused with light from within. Make that connection to your own heart, breathing as if you're breathing through and from your heart. And feel that expansion opening to your own source of joy and love and passion. And take a deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to the power center, your solar plexus, associated with the direction of south, a culmination point, where we access the inner wisdom of the spirit and activate the element of fire. Here, I want you to connect to your favorite shade of yellow or gold. Picture a crystal there spinning brightly, infused with light from within, and connecting to your own I Am presence. And take a deep cleansing breath in at your power center. And hold and release. Come on down to the creative center, where we honor the direction of west, the completion point. And where we access the inner wisdom of the soul and activate the element of water. Here I want you to picture your favorite shade of orange crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly, connecting to your own energetic flow and creative flow and emotional flow, and take a deep breath in right there. And hold and release. Come on down to the root chakra, where we honor the direction of north as a conception point and where we access the inner wisdom of the body and we activate the element of earth. We be here now. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Okay, welcome, welcome everyone. We have quite a bit to cover because there's 5 super moons this year. In the spring, we have 3 super new moons, so all these new beginnings are kicking off. And come fall, we're going to have 2 super full moons. And then we get 1 each in the eclipse section. Add that to the mix. So it's going to be intense and transformative, and we're going to direct this energy as consciously as possible, right? I want to start by laying a little groundwork. The groundwork is working with the moon. Some of this is going to be very useful for folks who are going to be moving into the Astro 101 class later. I was thinking about it as I was writing out my notes. I was like, this is going to be great to refer to throughout the year. It's going to cover us for these 3 new moons coming up, but where I'm going to remind folks to circle back in the fall and re-listen to this because it's going to be powerful. First of all, lunar rhythms are basically 18 months to 18 years. We round off the retrogrades, extend those periods to 9 and 18, to 10 and 20. So whatever numbers turn you on, whichever ones really work in your life, what I've noticed because of our layouts in our charts, the planets do spend longer periods of time in certain houses versus other houses, which means they spend longer times in certain areas of life than others. So we all have a unique adaptation of that. In the meantime, getting in the rhythm, in the lunar rhythm, is so powerful to co-create with because these super moons happen every year. They shift signs. A lot of times it's 3 and 3. Last year and this year it's been 3 and 2 is the way it's just been falling. So tonight I actually do have a little bit of a rant for the Aquarius new moon because it's very unique and it is our bonus baby. As we go into the year, we're going to double down in the Pisces Aries department. So we're going to get an intense cleansing and an intense renewal in our Pisces Aries department, which means those back-to-back houses in your chart. So thinking about how that extends the party, right, and leans that intensity into those zones where we know we are growing and changing and evolving in our emotional default settings, which is what the moon's good for. And it's for your daily rhythms. It's for your moods. It's for your own energy and vibration. So when I am teaching in class, I encourage you all to pay more attention to the elements than the signs, because the signs and the planets and the angles and all that's another language. But the elements we're wired for. We already understand elements and modalities, which is what I was saying I meant to bring in because I want to talk about that a little bit. So I'm always thinking about what time it is. If you look to the element and modality, that gives you more understanding of what's actually necessary in the moment. So when you're looking at the moon signs, you want to just think element and modality more than the actual sign. But you can, if you're learning and you want to learn it all, that's great. And the signs, I think, represent lessons and experiences that we all have access to. It's just if you have planets there, too, then it's a little bit more intense and concentrated. Like we said, the light and shadow, the value, right, of how it works. And thinking about where you've been for the last 8, 9, 10 years, because we're in the zone of the crossover. Like in 2024, we're in the crossover, what I call an overlap year, for Aries Libra eclipses and Virgo Pisces eclipses. And the last time we went through this on this cusp, on this exact cusp, was in 2004 to 06 for the Aries Libra and 06 to 08 for the Virgo Pisces. So that was that extended period between 04 and 08 that's back. Means that cycle is done and we are about to renew a whole new cycle. So it's even more interesting that now the supermoons are falling on that cusp too. Right? So it's all mixed up together. It's all connected. And whatever you can do to mitigate the elements that are too extreme for you, like when you know your own elemental balance, then you can also work with the moon better knowing what's going on up in the sky. For example, I know on fire moon, either I want to be with my partner or I want to be in some kind of creative mode. So creativity or sex is happening on the fire moons for me. On the air moons or the earth moons, I need to be working and doing something tangible. The earth moons can go either way. I can be in the garden or I can be at the computer and still feel happy and productive. But I've learned that the elements matter. And the water signs just don't even get me started. I'm a Cancer, so I already cry at the drop of a hat anyway. And it doesn't mean anything, but you can't tell folks that. When they see tears, everybody has their own response to tears. And for Cancers, anyone that has this energy, you know we laugh and cry at the same time all the time. So that's not really an indication of anything, but I also have no control over it. So on the water moons, it's even easier to trigger those tears. So learning the elements and how they affect you will help you navigate these more intense periods more consciously. The other thing I wanted to put on the radar is that we have the lunar flip coming up this year. In June, July of 24. The lunar flip is something else that happens in an 18-month rhythm. And right now we're rounding out 18 months of the full moon preceding the new moon, meaning we had to complete a lot of things before we could start anything. And if you went to try to start some things, you might have got tripped up and dragged back because there were loose ends that needed to be tied up. So however that feels for you, I personally prefer the full moon first because I love to clean, cleanse, and clear and release and do my burning bowl and all that at the full moon so that when I go to plant seeds 2 weeks later at the new moon, it's ease and grace to just release and let go in the God. I'm not attached to outcome when I go to plant those seeds because I know they're going into nice, clean terrain. If I have to now, with the lunar flip, going forward from June, July forward, after we double down in a Capricorn full moon, which means we're going to do a double dose of clearing in the Capricorn department in the summer around the Cancer new moon. So Cancer, Capricorn, and Aries, Libra are going to be most affected by that shift and that intensity and extension of the energies. But ultimately, we're going to go into the new moon preceding the full moon, which means you have to plant the seeds and walk by faith to the full moon. And a lot of times we get to the full moon and it lights up something you just couldn't know because it was too much of a new beginning. Think about the new moon as dark of moon. There's no light. So we have to be in receptive mode more than really active mode. It's really deceiving out there in the world where they're always talking about new moon, let's get started. No, not really. You really want to wait till that first quarter if you've got to jump off and take action. But that new moon is conception point. You know, all seeds germinate in the darkness. We have 3 days of darkness at that point. That's a still point in the month that if you also link up with, you can co-create in magical ways because our bodies are wired to the moon. Our waters are wired to the moon. So learning its rhythms can become super valuable. And some people are already naturally tuned in and you extrasensory perceptors over there, you know, we all have it, but if you work it, it's like a muscle. It gets stronger and stronger. So thinking about the rhythm, thinking about where we are, thinking about that order. Again, we're still clearing, cleansing, and cleaning. We're still letting go before we can bring in the new, knowing that we have a lot of new on the horizon. The eclipses alone, you know, I've already touched on how we're in an overlap year. So the way that I usually roll this is to give you a little bit of context. We came out of Taurus Scorpio eclipses, which really rearranged our values during the course of 21, 22, and 23. During those years, we had Taurus Scorpio eclipses, which just rocked everybody's world in pretty literal ways, because now we're talking about our essential needs, our primary concerns of food and shelter, home and work, and all that stuff got disrupted with COVID. All the values got break to realign things that happened, right? And so as we come out of that now, 24, 25, we are shifting into Aries Libra. So because our values have shifted, now who we are and who we want to interact with is shifting with these Aries Libra eclipses. Now the individual within the context of your relationships or communities is a huge deal. And we're all feeling it. You can feel where the frequency has shifted with certain groups or places that maybe were okay 2 or 3 years ago, but don't feel good anymore now. Or vice versa, where things weren't clicking 5 years ago, and all of a sudden the road opens, and it's organic, and it's natural, and that's the way we want it. So go for it when it's easy like that. So knowing that we shifted values, now we're going to shift ourselves and how we roll and how we make choices and decisions and who we do that with and around, that's moving into Virgo Pisces, which comes more into the body and spirit realm of the health of your physical body and your spirit self. So that shifts the dynamics again, because who we are and who we deal with and everything else, once it moves into Virgo Pisces, we're talking sensitivity and boundary issues and how much your system can actually handle. So you may want to do X, Y, Z. Like we joke about this in the Elay. We have several egg bays, and you can't really be a part of all the egg bays that interest you because they've all got goals and things to do every month. And that would add like 12 new goals to your month, and you probably already have your goals. So we have to actually pick and choose what our systems can handle, what we can manage in our day-to-day. And again, that is another thing we turn to the moon for in the day-to-day rhythms. The moon changes sign every 2.5 days, which means our vibration, our mood, the element, the modality shifts every 2.5 days. And while we can't stop the presses, we should still be very mindful of those shifts, because at those 2.5 day marks is what's called the void, of course. And the void is a pause for the cause. So now here again, we're being instructed to pause and reflect, receive, be still. Do we do it? No. But could we do it better? Hell yeah, we could do it better. Because every 2.5 days for most of the month, that little pause is only 2 hours long. I tell people all the time, even if it happens during your work day and your work hours, you could schedule your lunch break during that time. But if it happens overnight, I say we should pay attention to our dreams and go to sleep asking for a message or a confirmation or something. You know, void of courses are really good to play with, and they're good for receptive mode and doing divinations and asking for those clarity. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to come, but you can ask. You can invite the clarity during that time that will probably pop when the moon finally moves into the new signs and things start moving again. So learning that is important. And the void of course, the other thing with void of courses is at least 2 to 4 times a month, there'll be a 12-hour void of course, when there's a 12 or 14 hour, like long, almost all day, or 24, I've seen that happen, rarely that, but on the regular, there's a 12 hour. When that happens, again, if it happens during the day, you might want to just time out and take the day off if you can. If you can't, you need to look at it like a Mercury retrograde. Communication can go haywire. Things can get mixed up. You could get confused. You could get lost. So it's not good to push the river with technology and the world during that day. Just be easy. Just go with the flow and do your best. But if it happens overnight, I always say that's excellent dream time. 12 hours of void overnight really keeps all the blah, blah out and allows your higher self or your soul self to communicate with you in a much deeper way. So there's apps for that, or I can help you. There's reports for that that I can share with you. Let me know for those of you that want to go deeper. The Power Circle subscription is best for that. That's the $9.99 a month or $99 for the year, because that's where I kick out all those reports. For people who are using those tools to really track and guide your life, those are really good. So let's dive into our moons, because we got five to cover, and I pulled five cards, all different moon cards, so we're going to have fun with that. Like I said earlier, our Aquarius super new moon, that is literally tomorrow. We're gathered on Thursday, February 8th, and the moon is tomorrow. And the reason I said I'm not going to go too deep, but we're going to touch on this because it's important. It's a huge piece, and again, it's personal because now we're talking the moon, so that has more to do with us, the individuals. And where it lands for you is going to be unique to your elemental modality mix, right? So what I wanted to put on your radar is something that just kept hitting me over and over and over. Since 2018, Aquarius energy has been really popping, initiating big time. This is what makes me think that we really are crossing over into the Aquarian age, which is way bigger. They consider an age 2,500 years. But 2018-19, we had Leo Aquarius eclipses and the Leo North Node. So theoretically, we should have been connecting to our heart and our unique contributions. And I don't know about y'all, but I was. I was scheduling retreats and I was doing all kinds of stuff. And then COVID hit and kiboshed all that. So I was just about to come out the house. I had been doing online classes since 99 to 2019. I had done my time. I was ready to go in person. And for 2020, I had four retreats scheduled, and three of them went off online, but one was never going to work online. So it was like we connected to all this goodness and possibility and then got a detour, as it were. But we can't lose sight of what you're passionate about, what you care about on that Leo side of things. In 2018, Mars retrograded at 9 Aquarius and went direct at 28 Capricorn. So here we are again over that cusp of the end of Capricorn, beginning of Aquarius, where Pluto is leaning, transforming all of us on a collective global scale, right? And then bring it down to micro. Anywhere you've got your Capricorn Aquarius zone, that's where the upgrade is happening there. But Mars is who you are and what you want. So in addition to connecting to our hearts and figuring out maybe some aspect of the unique purpose, then Mars is like, but wait a minute, who you are and what you want needs an upgrade, which happens every 2 years. So we can co-create with Mars consciously in a beautiful way, but just check in with yourself and how you felt about the choices you were making around your sovereignty, your freedom, the level of being different and how comfortable or uncomfortable that is. Was that coming up at that time, and how much you owe social collective to be a certain way and all that nonsense? We're really connecting to who we are on an authentic level, and that's going to require a recalibration with the social collective. And then, you know me, I love the ladies, Ceres, Pallas, Juno, and Vesta. All of them, back to back, went through Aquarius. In 2020, Ceres lingered from January to November in Aquarius. Meaning how we nurture and like to be nurtured, went through Aquarius zone. So if I use me as an example, Aquarius rules my third house of communication, ideas, thinking, my writing and publishing gets activated in there. And I always get these upgrades. And so that nurturing that was going down in 2020 probably had to do with me scrambling what ideas I was going to pursue next because I had already planned out my year and it had gone sideways. So this recalibration, because she was retrograding there, you know, and she comes back, just a heads up, December 24, because the ladies are on like a 4 to 5 year schedule. She's going to be back in Aquarius in 24, and now I'm much more clear about which way I want to go with my writing and my ideas. But it took a reset to get here. I am nowhere in the ballpark of what I was thinking about then. So I'm just curious how 2020 was unfolding and what you were nurturing in your Aquarius department. 2020 and 21, Pallas retrograded in Aquarius, and it retrograded at zero. And a lot of times throughout all this, zero Aquarius comes up because, again, that's where Pluto's leaning. And it's kind of nutty that this is how it was going. But at that time, Pallas went backwards at zero Aquarius and forward at 12 Capricorn. But either way, December, January, February of 21 is when it came back. Because of the retrograde, it was delayed. So it was more like 21 when Pallas spent its time there. And so now we're talking your prismatic perspective. We started thinking way bigger about the world, right? What is going on? We are all connected. There's no doubt how connected we are. And at that time, there's so much healing that needed to be done. There was so much different politics and things that Pallas also represents around Aquarius, the freedom of the many versus that 1% world. Deep breath. We got a huge reset. And again, where she lingered in that zone, recalibrating our wisdom, our unique genius. And that definitely happened too, because I got deeper into writing about the ancestors. I've been talking with and about the ancestors for years, but not a lot of writing went down with it. And Pallas really helped with that. 2020 to 21, Jupiter went through Aquarius once in 12 years. The last time it did that was 09. So we had this upgrade in our consciousness in the Aquarius department. Where was that? It's Saturn and Jupiter went back. Why is this not written down? That was the year. They both ended up there, and that reset the social collective in a 20-year cycle. So we have the 12-year Jupiter, the 30-year Saturn, but together they're kicking off a 200-year cycle that moves in 20-year increments, let's say. And so now we have an initiation of the social levels being really intense in the Aquarius department. Now we're talking how much we realized through COVID, especially how much you needed other people for and how much you could do for yourself. And I don't know about you, but I recalibrated the hell out of that, because now there's certain things I definitely want to do myself that I don't want nobody near. And then I'll settle for what I have to deal with other people for. But in the meantime, I have priorities over here that cannot be messed with, that I want a certain way, so I'm just going to do it myself. So that recalibration of consciousness around what we believe to be true or possible, as well as the reality we were calling in. We started calling in this new vision of community that I see manifesting now in 24. It was the chaos of birth at that time, right? So I know what was birthed. This is exactly, I think, when I started co-teaching with Yeye Teach. And so that changed the game over here as well, expanded our reach, and that would have happened for you too in whatever Aquarius department. Then 22, Juno and Vesta went through Aquarius. They do it again in 2026, so that four-year stretch, we just reset a new zone. Now, what I remember talking about this in 22, because what's deep about this is Vesta's you, the sacred individual, and Juno is how we do partnership, especially intimacy. Now we were talking Aquarius sovereignty within those contexts and how deep the reset is for 4 to 5 years of how we do that, right? So just curious how these things have unfolded in your world. And now here we are in 2024, where Venus and Mars and Pluto are all hooking up to transform and transcend how the masculine-feminine dynamics work, how we get anything done. So this is also pointing back to you needing to be able to be the individual as part of a community bringing a peace. That's wonderful, but not out there trying to go it alone. That's the other theme this month with Horace was telling us, not to go it alone. Find a partner, create your support team, whatever it looks like to you, redefine your terms. So these Aquarius elements to consider is to think group energy. Who are you within the group or community? And what groups are a vibrational match? That's what I said earlier, how that's changed. Your unique contribution and authentic self is all up in the mix. The radical, revolutionary, progressive, global, original alternative. That's the Aquarian age, y'all. And if we can't do it on these little levels, how are we going to do it on the big level? So we have to practice that visionary archetype. We have to practice thinking ahead instead of living in the past. We have to think about what's best for the biggest number of people versus I get really frustrated when 30 people have to suffer for one. That's hard to watch. And it happens in all different parts of our world where we go through all these changes because one dodo bird don't know what to do. And I just, that drives me right up a wall with all my Virgo.
I just feel like we could do that better.
And then here's the funny one. Who do you think you are? And recognize what happens when we play with the tone of that question. Because we all had mamas that looked us in the face and was like, who do you think you are? We ain't going that way. So tone matters. But when I say, who do you think you are, this is the mind-heart connection of Leo Aquarius that's getting activated. Really, who do you think you are? And how do you perceive yourself? Do you care about how you're perceived by others? To some extent, I think we should, but to some extent, I think we shouldn't, because you can't be rolling caring what everybody else thinks. But at the same time, you're carrying a vibration, and what vibration do you want to put out there? And that vibration is going to magnetize its like vibration, so just know that, and you get to control that. And then I love to play with the Leo Aquarius polarities, the heart and mind, inside, outside, self and other. Individual versus collective or community, feeling and thinking, justice and temperance in the cards, humanity in the world, attachment and detachment, self-awareness and situational awareness. This is something else that I'm a big stickler for. I think people should be more aware of what's going on around them. Subjective, objective. This is the perspectives going on. Special versus common. Acceptance of the small, commitment to the large. And I say think global, but act local. That's another Leo Aquarius dynamic. So play with that this month, because we're in it. Here we are. And just know that on your personal, individual level, you're being activated to call in a new vision of some sort. That is an upgrade from whatever you've been doing. And if you can tie it to your Aquarius department, that's amazing. So our first divination comes from Animal Wise Tarot. We have the wolf. This is the animal guidance. They call that one intuitive guidance and guardianship. So I decided to keep us in line and not get confused. We're going to do each one at a time, and then we can break to talk in between. So wolves are the epitome of the wild spirit with so many positive characteristics that it's no wonder many people practically deified them. When wolves appear, they are always a reminder to listen to our own intuition. Wolves are alert to the subtlest of changes within their environment and teach us how to recognize the same within our own. Wolves teach us to trust our intuitive guidance, and by doing so, they become our guardians and guides. Ashe, Ruby Red Wolf is my ace, Wonkong. Wolves have a complex communication system comprised of body language and vocalization. Wolves teach us to empower our verbal communication with appropriate body language and vice versa. And we might add tone matters, what tone they say things in. When wolves appear, our communications become stronger and the communications of others become clearer. We recognize undertones and body signals that may not reflect what we are actually hearing. Trust your impression at these times, because this is part of what wolf teaches us when it appears. Wolves have extremely keen senses. The sense of smell has been estimated at 100 times greater than that of humans. Their hearing is more powerful, and they have the capability of hunting through only the sense of smell and hearing. This is a reminder that our own senses are becoming sharper, and we should trust our inner thoughts. Our intuition and psychic abilities are heightening tremendously. Now is the time to rely more on our own insight than that of others. Changes are occurring, even though they have not shown themselves in the physical world. And remember, we're on the new moon here. So again, with that dark of moon energy. Some of the changes and our initial recognition of them will come through dreams. Wolves are social creatures. Each has its role and place within the pack. The ritualistic behaviors that establish wolf rank are part of wolf's magic, but also what makes the pack so wonderful. They watch over each other, even while fulfilling their individual roles. Wolf teaches us to hear our inner voice and guard us from inappropriate actions. When wolf shows up, it is time to trust our inner guidance in finding our own new path and in taking control of our life. Wolf tells us that there will be guidance and protection as we take up our new journeys, I'll say. Shadow wolf, if it's reversed, has extreme intelligence. and goes out of its way to avoid trouble and danger, Ashe. With wolf in reverse position, we may not be seeing things as they really are, and our judgments may be off. This is not a time to let our imagination run away with us. By maintaining control, watching, and moving more cautiously, we will avoid problems. In reverse, wolf tells us not to take risks at this time because it is possible to misunderstand and misinterpret our inner guidance more easily right now, and we may not be able to trust the guardianship of our intuition. A wolf's sense of family and loyalty is strong. In reverse, we may need to examine our own loyalties and the loyalties of others around us more closely. Questions to ask. This is for this month's new moon, super new moon in Aquarius. Are we being clear in our communications? Are others? Are we responding even though the communications and intuition is unclear? Are we being too sensitive right now? Are we allowing our fears to prevent us from stepping out into new directions? Deep breath. So for the Aquarius super new moon, this I thought was interesting because it was more about community with the wolf. And each one of these moon cards has its own little focus that seemed appropriate. So deep breath. So now we move to March 10th, Pisces super new moon. What I also looked at, and without making this call 2 hours, so I'm not diving into the chart per se, but I want you to know that with that Pisces new moon is Saturn and Neptune in Pisces. So here we have the dreams and the reality, the physical and the spiritual planets, tapping into our new moon, our new beginning of March of 2024. That's going to be opposite Juno in Virgo, which means we're integrating this new reality, new vision that we're coming up with, again, with our systems for living within the context of our partnerships, mostly the intimate ones, the ones we have to live with. How are they working as you step into this new vision or activate your imagination to call in something greater? And with those extra planets there, we're going to make it real. The crossover with Gemini Sag is real deep because now we have 3 out of the 4 ladies engaged with this lunation. Vesta's in Gemini across from Pallas and Sag. The sacred is being reviewed in Gemini Cancer. That means with your ideas and thinking, along with your self-care and nutrient and what you take in and how you take care of yourself is getting a recalibration that's very deep and ongoing in a 10-month process. Across from Pallas, activating that wisdom in Sag, we're back to what you believe to be true or possible, but also how can we expand the vision bigger than whatever we were already thinking? I mean, you know, messing with Ye-Ye is hard not to think big because she shows us where our ideas are great, but if we made them in service to the social or collective on some higher level, they would expand and be even bigger. And I'm just starting to kind of figure out what that might look like for me personally. So just use Pallas for that strategic wisdom, for that unique genius in your Sag department. For me, it's identity and purpose. So that's why it's all up and obvious for me. But for you all, look to your Sag department and your Gemini Sag to what is sacred and going on within you, the individual. And then, of course, what you're believing and kind of acting on in the world is going to have to grow and evolve because the initiation's happening in Pisces. The integration will be happening in Virgo, and the growth, development, and change will come in the Gemini Sag department for that month. So we want to incubate a vision, go within, and consult the soul self for that Pisces super new moon. We want to play with reflections, water, flow, liquid. What are your waters like? Are they stormy or calm? What are the waters around you like, stormy or calm? Emotional processing and integration. Okay, if we don't take time to do this, then our choices and decisions aren't usually as adequate as they could be if we had done more processing, especially of our emotions, how we feel about things, because this is the end, this is the true end of a year and the true rebirth and incubation of a new life direction concepts for 24 that are getting ready to start manifesting. So you want to renew your filters too. This has been coming up just in the last month as well, so it's probably going to be real obvious by March to renew our filters. Just how you're perceiving things for right now has got to be different from who you were and what you were focused on 3, 5, 7 years ago, or if we were to play with the 8, 9, 10 years ago zone. All of that, you're different. So you can't run things through those old filters, let's put it that way. So renew your filters. Recalibrate your boundaries, all of your boundaries. your physical boundaries, your emotional boundaries, your mental boundaries, and your spiritual boundaries. Recalibrate. That's what that super new moon is going to be really good for. Different modes of communication. Okay, here we are in the spirit realm of Pisces, and Neptune's there. Saturn's trying to keep it real, but it's hard. It's a lot. So art and meditation and visualization is going to be more readily available, easier to translate your messages, to get your wisdom if you are conducive to that. But that's how our Pisces is going to go. And for the Pisces guidance, for that super new moon, March 10th, 2024, we're doing Tarot of the Spirit, Pamela Eakin's moon, which is number 18, which is a lot of what all the moons are, number 18 in the major arcana. So no matter what the deck is, and so I encourage you to look up all the moons in your decks and get different interpretations of how to work with the moon, how to understand what it's doing to you and with you and around you and in front of you, behind you, all of that. So deep breath. And Pamela is by far the deepest and the longest. The rest are simple and easy and quick. But we're going to go to the depths of the ocean here. And the cards are in the PDF, and that will be in the postcall goodies. Open to receive the moon card, which she also associates astrology. So her astrology with the moon card is Pisces. So this could double down as an interpretation on Pisces. And if Kimberly wants to prepare to add her two cents at the end of this, she might want to do that. Shadows rear like monsters with horrifying heads. Now remember, Pisces is where we store our irrational fears and phobias. So that's where it starts out, and our self-sabotage and a lot of the shadows, because we don't understand the multi-dimensions because our families didn't know nothing about it, so they couldn't teach us about it. And now we're all having to unlearn and relearn, those of us older. Now, you youngins, y'all came in wired. You're good to go. So it may be a little different for the younger people. But these are the monsters of living that Pamela is referring to. The monsters of weakness, war, ugliness, poverty, sickness, pain, and death. These are the unexpected trials and tribulations that block the flow of the river of life. These are the monsters of the moon. At key 18, you have known these monsters. You have suffered along the path of this life. More than once, with great surges of will and conviction, you have drawn your sword defiantly against such creatures. You knew that, however devastating the crisis, you had to go on. You were moving, always moving, toward the light, the reward, which was just up ahead. It was as if you could almost taste the glory and victory of success. You sometimes felt that the river to freedom flowed with blood, your body tired with hardship in life and love. How did you see freedom? Was it not liberation from bondage? And was not that bondage life itself? And yet you did not want to leave this life, Sashe. As much as you sought escape from the monsters of living, you desired connection with all living things. You craved song and dance and revelry upon earth's bountiful mounds and plains. Through the ordeals, you thought, why me? When you were at your lowest points, revelations surfaced, ideas rose. When you thought you could go on no longer, another ordeal occurred, and you went on. You just continued, persevered, and new thoughts came, new ways appeared. You have spent time intuiting and dreaming. You have experienced great psychic upwelling. Now, in the key 18, the moon, your intuition reigns supreme. You have kept the mystical aspects of yourself in bondage. At the moon, these aspects are liberated, I say. At some point in the key of the moon, we begin to look upstream, back to where we have been, and realize that where we came from is right and good. Where we are going is right and good. That there is nothing new under the sun. That all is as it should be, all is as it must be. We seem to realize that while this river appears to be moving, while it is forever changing and forever new, it is ever the same. It seems to go nowhere. There is a certain sameness in the river of life, a certain constancy, a certain endurance. It is the same in victory, the same in defeat. It is the same river. And to those who have eyes to see, in this river of life, wherever one may plant one's foot, become holy ground. How do we come to this realization? We arrive at this point through consciously experiencing and bonding to the rearing monsters. Each ordeal then becomes a ritual of passage, allowing us to move to the next level. The moon is the final initiation of the dark. It is the last symbolic death. It is followed by divine resurrection. You are in the last series of trials, which does come with the Pisces new moon. Each trial is designed to make you forget your past views, your past values, the way you were conditioned to believe. At the moon, you release your memory. You let go of the conditioned reactions of the past. You learn to walk on the earth in a new way. You hear your new name spoken. I say, call it in. This is the incubation rebirth. We're back to the womb in Pisces. You are at the key of mystical initiation. In mystical initiation, you die and reawaken. You feel yourself cease and desist. You reassemble yourself in the light of new consciousness. You let go of your memory, but for the first time, you truly remember. You arrive at new consciousness of memory. At the portal of new consciousness, you stand at the gateway to beauty, the gateway to light and higher consciousness, the gateway to unconditional love. The moon is the great portal on the river of life. Like the last stage of winter or the dark hour before dawn, the passage of the moon leads into the pristine brilliance of a new dawning. What separates the morning of this new day from other days? It is your own recognition of the independent journey of your soul. It is the recognition that every monster that set foot on your path was a test of your perseverance and tenacity. It was a test of your physical capacity, determination, and capability. Your own animal wildness, that which you tried to suppress, has aided and abetted you in your struggle to survive. This you now recognize, Sasha. You have accepted every shadow. You have tamed wild beasts. You have learned that your own inner light rises and carries you through the monstrous times. All this you know through your own willingness to know. You have come a distance of which you are acutely aware, and you have arrived at a magical crossing, which will be spring of 24, I gotta say. Key 18 is the path that connects the sphere of the emotions and psychic upwelling with the sphere of the physical body. This is the path of corporal intelligence on the tree of life. It is the time when all that you have learned moves through the passage to physical manifestation. This is the fourth stage of spiritual unfoldment. At this stage, the knowledge gained through the deep spiritual understanding of the meaning of the trials you have faced becomes incorporated into your body. It is as if your physical body is dismembered and reassembled. It is rebuilt in accordance with the plan of your new subconscious pattern. Then, as a result of your physiological changes, your latent powers unfold freely. You recognize through your own willingness to know that your body, which has been the burdensome bag of bones you have dragged through the ordeals of incarnation, is actually your vehicle for adeptship. In your divine initiation, your body becomes a light body. In this initiation, you surrender the burdens of the past. You accept the divine emanation of light from a higher evolutionary manifestation. The eternal light extends into your divine self. It is as if you reach upward, accepting and knowing. The hands of divinity reach down and enfold you. Within you, the seeds of wisdom are magically implanted. You can never be as you were before. There is no turning back. The rite of passage is complete. You have become the source of light. In knowing this, your savage wildness is perfected. Your shadowy monsters transmute into luminous beings. You begin to move in the beauty way, which is the way of light. On the deepest levels, life has appeared as a dark river. Your strength has been tested. The path of the moon is your final release from bondage, dismembering your dark and heavy body in exchange for the eternal lightness of being. So mote it be. Deep breath. So, that ending precedes a major new beginning, it's important for us to look at it as that womb development experience of what you want to birth next, whether it's your own self-expression and some new level of you, or a creative baby, or a work project, or a home project, whatever it is that you want to bring to life in 2024. These new moons are guiding the way. Oh, I said I was going to pause before I go in. Kimberly, did you want to touch on anything that Pamela said?
I did. Okay, so really quick, with the things Pamela said, whenever I'm in her classes, she always asks us to, you know, find out where things are located. And so the moon is located in path 29, and I'll come back to that because 29, it's also an 11, it's also a 2. That's important because the first two moons are at 20 degrees, which is also a 2. The moon in the 29th path is on the Tree of Life. It connects the 7th sphere, Nesdaq, which also is Venus, the sphere of influence of the group mind and our emotional response, and our entry into the quest for enlightenment with the 10th sphere, Malkuth, which is Earth, the earthly experience of manifestation. And so, like I said, the first two are at 20 degrees, so I love that she sent me the chart. So they're both at 20 degrees. 20 degrees is the number of the awakening. It's a number where you work well with groups and create harmony where there are different viewpoints. So I definitely see that with Aquarius, the first one. Some of the shadows can be resentful, exhibit uncontrolled emotions. I think of that with the Pisces and that next moon. Also can feel separate from the world, more Aquarius. Uncooperative, undiplomatic in your communication style. You mentioned communication. And I'll say that for me personally, I've been seeing this at work. I have been seeing that I'm working with teams and I've been emotional and I'm trying to keep that under control. And I've been trying to make sure that I'm having cooperative and diplomatic communication, but sometimes I just want to yell, right? And then my human body, I've been in a lot of pain this week. That has made it even harder to be cooperative and diplomatic. And so I'm really looking forward to these two moons and the lessons that are ahead of us dealing with that Aquarius and that Pisces energy. So thank you, Kelly, for sending me to both classes.
I love it. Yes. She's gone deep. We've both taken classes with Pamela Eakins, who has tarotofthespirit.com, if you want to look her up. She is amazing. She's out of California. She's still at Half Moon Bay. I'm not sure. That's where she used to be based. But anyway, once we come through that Pisces new moon, we're going to hit the Aries new moon solar eclipse. That's going to be a super new moon solar eclipse. So here we go again with an intense chart and with the ladies being busy and contributing. So this feminine energy is woven throughout all this lunar work that we're calling in with these supermoons, which I should have probably said on the front end that supermoons are when the Earth, Moon, and Sun are in more tight alignment. And we had our exact supermoon last year in 2023, actually, at around the Aquarius new moon. It was January 23rd, and that is very rare when it's exact. So it was very tight. And there was another Aquarius, okay? That wasn't even on my list. I was trying to find every Aquarius thing that happened. And so what's happening here, now we have the sun and moon, of course, are together, but also in Aries, Mercury, Venus, Chiron, and North Node. So our thinking is going to be recalibrated because Mercury is going to retrograde in Aries. Venus gets there. She spends about 3 to 4 weeks, once every 10 months, in Aries. So this is her renewal if we go back to the beginning of the cycle with Aries. That Venus in Aries means our values and priorities are centered around our individuality and the purpose and yourself, right? That individual self, but also who you are and what you want because of that upgrade is coming into some new values. Chiron's been healing, digging up in Aries. How do you feel about yourself? And how do you feel about being alone, coming in alone, going out alone? People don't like to hear that, but we can only cross those thresholds alone. So we have to prepare ourselves along the way. And there's another book out there called The Tibetan Yogas of Dream and Sleep for people who are stellar dreamers or want to learn how to dream or do what's called lucid dreaming, where you stay conscious throughout your dreams. It's an amazing book with a bunch of practices and everything in there. But they say if you can become conscious with your dreams, you can have a conscious death and it won't be scary or uncomfortable. Well, here's the other thing. Chiron's only there once in 50 years, and North Node is only there once in every 20. So anyone with Aries, Libra, North Nodes, Cancer, Capricorn, North Nodes, you're being affected directly for this 18-month period that we're doing the Aries-Libra eclipses. this is also for the world. Even if you don't have those things activated, you're still in the social level. We're asking to move in a new direction that is more suited to you, the individual. You know, not violating your soul just to function and survive. That's over. It's time to thrive and prosper, and we have to figure out how to do it even in the chaos of the rebirth of the world, you know, or the Aquarian age, or the new cycles that everyone's going through. So this one puts all that energy of initiation in our Aries department, initiating new consciousness that's going to take a minute to set because of the retrograde with Mercury. We're resetting new values and priorities. We're integrating the healing work we've been able to do over the last couple of years so that it can really support us so we can do some other things. And we're choosing a new direction because anytime we get to Aries, it's a new beginning of any kind. Now, that eclipse, just remember what eclipses are. They're an interruption in the light, right? And so we pay attention to what's going on there as well. You break to realign. You interrupt the flow so your neural pathways can reset and go in a new direction. And probably because the only thing across from Aries is the south node in Libra, we cannot fall back into old patterns of relating after COVID, right? After COVID, we need to develop new ways of relating, doing partnership, being intimate, all of the Libra good stuff. So really think about that. And at this moment, self-preservation is not selfish. It is essential in the first law of nature with the Aries new moon. Handle business. Take care of yourself first, and then think about what you can do for everybody else. And then we got the ladies involved here, too. Vesta will be still, like what I tell you, she's lingering in Gemini Cancer. So now she's digging up in how you take care of yourself. How do you feed yourself? How do you rest? How do you do sex and play and fun and the things that make human life even worth being here? How do you do all that on a personal, individual, nobody else matters but me way? And then Ceres is in Capricorn, asking us to nurture our structures, our foundations, to take the proper steps to go do things in order so that we can have long-term success rather than quick fixes or short-term anything. But it's also consulting with the Council of Elders and the Council of Grandmothers and knowing that you're not alone in certain things. I would say always with Cancer Capricorn dynamics, here you the individual and then how you're nurtured from those around you, closest to you on a daily basis, is getting a recalibration during the month of April. And because of all the new shifts in Aries, you've got to know that the growth and change is going to happen in Cancer Capricorn. We're initiating in Aries, integrating in Libra, change, growth, and development in Cancer Capricorn. So our bullets say don't overthink. Let's reconnect with and fortify our instincts. Okay, Aries is about the instincts. What is instinctively right for you? Now, I'm not going to lie. Some of y'all that have been with me long enough have heard this story about me and my poor choices in my youth. And so your instincts, when they're injured instincts, when they're incomplete initiations, when you don't have proper protocols and guidance and support systems in place, you can follow instincts that can get you in trouble. So this is why we want to check in and see how healthy they are as well with this Aries super new moon solar eclipse, because you need to be more instinctive for the world that is unfolding right now. Get the memo. You have to be able to engage with your body to tell you what is real and what is fake out here, because you're going to be messing around talking to a hologram and it's crazy, the mixture of humanity and technology that is also part of that Aquarian age that we have to navigate. So again, with your system and what it can actually handle, but your instincts and your six senses, all six of them, are so critical. Match your personal desires to collective needs. I think that's another version of, like I was saying earlier, think bigger. And how can you connect to the social collective in a way that can help you rise, but also help them expand? The rebirth and resurrection cycles are on this 10 and 20 years of these eclipse cycles that we were talking about earlier. So think bigger than annual. Yes, all these new moons are the typical new moon. We have a Pisces new moon every March, every February, March. We have an Aries new moon every March, April. So that happens every year. Are they super moons every year? Not always. Eclipses only come around every 9, 10 years. And in the bigger cycle, the complete cycle is 18 to 20. So there's another way to think bigger, not just what do you want to do from 24 to 25, when, by the way, Saturn and Neptune move into Aries and then the big social collective cycles reboot. So if we can do these micro levels of personal transformation consciously, then we're going to be so much better off. Do you, then share. Get yourself together, then assist others. Okay, that's always my advice, but it's going to be real important during Aries season. And think about, what is your new path? What new healing have you integrated? What new ideas and thoughts and concepts are coming up? What new relationships seem possible? What are your new priorities now versus a year ago, 3 years ago, 5, 7, 10 years ago? What are your new desires? And what is the new you overall? Because again, with Aries, it's you, the individual. So there's a new you being birthed that's going to go forward with the healing you've been able to do under your belt, so integrated into your system, into your body, so that it can support you. And that will attract new relationships and activate new desires and priorities. I love it. Now, our moon card for this one comes from the Vision Quest Tarot. And this is for our Aries Super New Moon Solar Eclipse. This one is also 18, the moon, but they have keywords. The unconscious, visions, intuitions, power of life cycles, fertility, dreams, fantasies, romance, dark night of the soul, acute sensitivity and empathy, and gloominess is probably the shadow. They have an inner message and an outward manifestation. The inner message says your inner lunar power connects you to the most secret forces in nature. If you open up to them, you will be gifted with intuitive insight and empathy. Your feminine energies will come to the forefront. You will be capable of grasping the hidden wisdom of so-called irrational forces. Tune into the subtle rhythms of your life force now. Notice the pulsations on a biological, emotional, and spiritual level. All developments take place in definite, continuously recurring cycles, not just the progression from birth to maturity to death. Sadness and grief have their place in these cycles, just as much as joy and exuberance. These are merely the two poles of the emotional spectrum available to us. Accept the whole spectrum. Don't judge. Don't hold on to any state. Recognize emotions as the natural fluctuations of your own life force, Ashe. So again, we tapped into the moon, and I told you every 2.5 days, and it's so rhythmic that you can absolutely learn this rhythm if you haven't already. Basically, I also teach how the moon does in a month what the sun does in a year. It's repetitive. It's over and over and over. You can absolutely tune in. The outward manifestation says your emotional pendulum tends to swing from high to low and back again, making it a bit more difficult to function at work now. Moon advises you to pay close attention to subtleties. Learn to use your intuition throughout your day. Relaxation and meditation will help, since nervousness and hectic activities smother the intuitive promptings, constantly arising from the deep within. Even a dreamy state can be useful at work if you don't criticize yourself and allow your energy to move. All discoveries, all inventions, and revelations invariably came from the so-called dreamy realms beyond common logic and indeed beyond conventional thought. Thoughts may do some of the necessary groundwork, but it is the inexplicable spark of intuition that makes breakthroughs possible. This is a good time to connect your rational aspect with the vaster realm of the irrational. Deep breath. And that will be very important. And the thing that also popped out that I thought of with Aries Libra is the swing we do between wanting to be alone or wanting to be with people, and wanting to be alone and wanting to be with people, or that pendulum swing that happens with Aries Libra. So that's our spring, y'all, and that's all our new beginning juju. This is the zone we're in now. We have two super full moons in September 17th is the Pisces super full moon lunar eclipse, and on October 17th, it is the Aries super full moon.
Kelly, can I ask a question?
Absolutely. Come on in.
Yes. Okay, so for the April one, I was wondering if you could talk to, because I saw that both the moon and the sun, of course, obviously 19 degrees, But the Chiron is there too. So I was wondering, any advice on all three are conjunct, the moon, the sun, and Chiron. Any advice on how we can work with Chiron in April and the healing that's available with Chiron and Aries in April?
Yes. I think we have to really go into how we would like to define our own identity. You know, we're defined by our culture, our family, or our conditioning, or what the world says we can or cannot do. And I think we need to redream that. And I think with help of Chiron's healing processes that we've already been through, we can start to build, even though there's a little more to go. We've got a couple more years of this. But we have been integrating that on such a deeper level because of Chiron. We've been cracked open to, that's not me. That's not my identity, right? I don't identify as that. That's what's up for getting cracked open because of Chiron being there once in 50 years. And this is very pertinent to the generation of everybody born 67 to 77 who actually live with Chiron and Aries. We've come in to really work that out. But now that it's up in the sky, everybody can work it out. And that support of the feminine and the support of a Mercury retrograde means at that time you're going to be actually conceptualizing how much stronger you are and how much more instinctive you are and how much more capable of handling your own business. Like, we don't need a lot of what society says we need, let's put it that way. So I think integrating that concept of a new identity and being able to stand on it, because that's going to be the hard part. Is, you know, family's not going to want to see you in the new light. The world probably is going to want to squeeze you into a box of whatever. Kimberly, I could use you as an example with the military to the astrology world. It's your new identity. It's like, let's get comfortable with it now because it's coming. When Saturn and Neptune get there, we're not going to have a choice. We're going to have to step up into that new identity, whatever we choose. But it is also a choice. Are we going to allow ourselves to heal from the past wounds of violations? Because we're also the ones that remember kind of in our cellular level slavery and slave times and things that we went through that we weren't allowed to be an individual. We weren't allowed to have an identity. So how do we do that now? And what can we heal internally so that we can express on any other level so that we don't repeat the pattern for another 50 years, right? So I hope that helps, Kimberly.
That does help. Thank you. I'm married to a Chiron and Aries, so.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. And then that's the problem with being married. We got to ride along for each other's healing processes. Deep breath, honey. So the fall two moons we're going to cover, and then we'll be out of here, I promise. September 17th, Pisces, super full moon lunar eclipse. Now we're back to Pisces, but we're in a full moon lunar eclipse zone. So if it was just a simple full moon, we'd be in the completion mode of all completion modes, because Pisces is the completion anyway. And now we're in a full moon, which is the completion. A lunar eclipse is the end of a cycle, beginning of a new cycle. And again, with the 10 and 20 years, just keep that in mind, that the life path and direction, the north node and the lunar cycles, I kind of round off and say a 20-year cycle that moves in five-year increments that you can learn how to get in the rhythm of. So that's the lunar rhythm. Along with that Pisces moon, we still have Saturn and Neptune, who helped us dream up some new beginning stuff 6 months ago, but now is asking us to look at what needs completion or evolution or integration or wholeness in some kind of way. What needs to be developed? And it's across from Sun, because this is now we're talking full moon, so moon's across from Sun, and we have Saturn and Neptune across from Mercury and Vesta. So our thinking and ideas, but also what's sacred. And so where we have this initiation energy going over here in Virgo, again, we're back to our systems and how much we can handle our daily rhythms, our health and well-being, you know, how our systems function, right? How our day-to-day systems function. And when Vesta's there, it really is your health and well-being and your physical body becomes not just important but sacred. You ought to honor it as the vehicle it is. So if that's what's happening at that time and we're completing all this old reality and old visional dreams, everything culminates in September. So that's harvest season. So whatever we've been able to bring into form at that point, we're going to be looking at things like, is it functional? Does it work? Or can we build on it? Can we expand? Is it solid enough, strong enough to handle an expansion? And is it healthy for us to call in that reality? Is it really going to serve us as individuals? Because again, I'm just going to beat on you to think about what's in it for me. Just always consider your individual perspective and then start branching out to your loved ones. But if you don't even know what you want, you're going to get smacked around by the stronger personalities around you who do know what they want and aren't waiting for you to figure it out. And that's the energy of Aries, you know, that we're going to be going through bigger and bigger in 25, 26. It's going to be a lot. So if we can get these things grounded and anchored and integrated within our individual selves, we'll do a lot better to stick and move in those intense years of social collective change and rebirth. Now, mind you, on this Pisces super full moon lunar eclipse, like we say all the time, the initiation at that time is going to be Virgo. We're going to be integrating Pisces. But the growth and development happens Gemini Sag, and Jupiter will be in Gemini by then. So now we've got Jupiter involved with an eclipse going off. That's kind of big. Not that it probably doesn't get involved other in every sign it's in, but this one's going to be important to our processing, to our consciousness, to what we believe to be true or possible, to our ideas and concepts of what we can do and can we be multidimensional beings and have these multidimensional experiences and still function. And Pallas is still in Sag, so she must retrograde there because that seems like she's there a long time. We're definitely recalibrating the wisdom and how we integrate and express it. So the growth is going to come with your consciousness by fall. You'll be dealing with things that are literal and physical and on the ground, but it'll be how well you navigate will have to do with your consciousness and what you believe. So just keep all that in mind. And our bullets say irrational fears and phobias, erroneous beliefs, doom and gloom. Okay, this is all our release list. This is what we're releasing. And think about it. It's not just the annual Pisces full moon where we would release these things anyway. Now we're talking 10 and 20 year cycles. And we're setting the new 10 and 20 year cycle in motion. Just know that. Okay, so these clearings are critical because they're going to support you for the next 10 and 20 years as well. We're releasing compulsive self-sabotage when you know better and you do it anyway. We don't want to do that. You don't want any self-sabotage, but you really don't want that compulsive one. Distractions, apathy, where you just give up because it's not perfect, so you're just not going to do nothing at all. That's a horrible way to go. If you won't get healthy for you, then do it in service to others. This is, again, with the health and physical capacity, what you can and cannot do. Your physical limitations are going to come up in the fall. So what's up? Where are your priorities? What do you want to focus on? Endings, completion, integration, and assimilation. We got to do that too. We got to take time. Remember, Virgo, Pisces, Gemini, Sag, any time of the year, four times a year, is when we do our processing and assimilation. So now, again, we're kind of still in harvest time, and we're looking at how the year is going at that point. What have we been able to cultivate, and what can we build on? Of course, we're releasing addiction, fantasy, being scattered, overwhelmed, and the lack of discipline that also comes with Pisces. So we may look to our Pisces area of life, where that happens, and how to deal with it. And then our card for this one, the September 17th, this one is the moon from the Mythic Tarot by Juliet Sharman Burke and Liz Green. And those of you who have gotten tarot readings from me know that this deck. And I like this deck because it combines the languages of mythology and psychology. So all the archetypes are pretty familiar. But here the moon in this one is Hecate, which we do know as the moon goddess. And so this will be our guidance for September of 24 with the Pisces super full moon lunar eclipse. The moon goddess is an image of the mysterious watery depths of the unconscious. We have already encountered this strange and elusive realm in two other cards in the major arcana, the High Priestess and the Wheel of Fortune. These three cards are linked in meaning. They represent a progression in deepening your understanding and experience of the world of the unconscious. Through Persephone, the High Priestess, the Fool became aware of an intuition of his own personal depths, a secret self which lay beneath ordinary mundane life. Through the Moirai, who preside over the Wheel of Fortune, he experienced the power which we call fate. Through sudden changes of fortune that reveal an invisible law or purposeful pattern within. Here in the card of the moon, we find in the image of Hecate an experience of the great collective sea of the unconscious, from which not only the individual, but the whole of life has emerged. Hecate is more than a portrayal of personal depth. She embodies the feminine principle in life itself. The three faces and the three lunar phases reflect her multifaceted power over heaven, earth, and the underworld. In psychological terms, it is from this oceanic realm of the human imagination that the great myths and religious symbols and works of art are born over the centuries. It is a chaotic, confusing, unbounded world of which the individual, with his personal journey and search for self, are only a tiny part. The meeting with Hecate, the moon goddess, is a confrontation with a transpersonal world where individual boundaries dissolve and the sense of direction and ego are lost. It is as though we must wait, submerged in the waters of this world, while the new potentials arise, which will eventually become our future. But the dark waters of the collective unconscious contain both negative and positive, and it is sometimes hard to distinguish its shifting movement from madness and delusion. It can be a frightening, anxiety-provoking world, for living in the realm over which Hecate presides means living without knowledge and clarity. Something has washed over us, which cleanses the past and prepares the way for the future. But we must wait as the fetus waits in the womb. The only road to Hecate's world is the royal road of dreams. That keeps coming up, which, like the crab, tantalizes us with a glimpse and then slips back into the water again. The card of the moon is a card of gestation, full of confusion, anxiety, and bewilderment. We have nothing but the dream world and the star of hope to guide us, for this image of the feminine is not a personal one like that of the high priestess. It is vague and elusive and impersonal, embodying itself as shifting moods and confusion. Hecate is never really graspable, for she is a goddess of magic and initiates the fool into a world greater than himself, that primal water out of which all life comes. On a divine level, the card of Hecate, the moon goddess, suggests a period of confusion, fluctuation, and uncertainty. We are in the grip of the unconscious and can do nothing but wait and cling to the elusive images of dreams and the vague sense of hope and faith. Thus, the fool awaits his rebirth in the waters of a greater womb, dimly aware that his journey of personal development is only a small fragment of a vast, unknowable life which spans millennia and which remains eternally fertile, yet eternally unformed. Deep breath. Ooh, that was our Pisces in September. Aries in October. October 17th is the Aries super full moon, no eclipses. Made our quota. But here we are again with Chiron in North Node. And now we're across from the Sun and Juno in Libra. So we'll have this intense focus on who we are not and what we do not want and what has run its course and served its purpose and is ready to move on. So Juno, how we do partnership intimacy in particular in Libra, that's a big deal because now we're recalibrating the balance of give and take. This is where the initiation is happening. It's new relationships, partnerships, collaborations that are possible, defining our terms all new in our intimate partnerships and commitments that we already have, and knowing that that's where the new beginning is happening. So this Aries full moon with Chiron and North Node is like, we can't go back to the old ways. We can't be the old person. Used to be's don't make no honey. Let's go. Let's keep it moving forward and let go of all that and be okay with the improvisation of the new you. Be okay with learning as you go what your new values and priorities are, but not sliding into old bad habits. Now, mind you, while we're having this initiation integration in Aries Libra, then the growth and development happens in Cancer Capricorn, and now it's getting a little deep because now we're getting toward the end of the year where Mars is going to retrograde through Cancer Leo. So it's going to be in Cancer across from Ceres Pluto in Capricorn, and now we're having no choice but to transform and transcend how we take care of ourselves, how we nurture life in general. Are we going to focus on life or death in this culture? What is it going to be? Because wherever you put your focus is what grows. And Mars lingering in Cancer Leo is doing a huge reset again around your self-care, but that self-care that feeds into your self-expression, who you want to shine forth. What identity do you want to be known for in this new year? What new role do you want to play? How does that look? And how can you embody it in a way that's healthy and authentic for you, the individual? That's coming at the end of the year, crossover into 25. So you see where we're going to be rebirthing Mars right when we get to the new year of 25, and that's going to be big social collective cycles that reboot. So we want to do these things on the micro level of how are we really legit taking care of ourselves and our fundamental needs and our basics. So this is going to bring up survival mode, We want to replenish our vitality and acknowledge the ending of the old self or the old desires, right? This is the Aries full moon, super full moon. Rage to outrage, okay? Rage is paralyzing. Outrage is mobilizing. You're so mad you want to do something about it. So think about that. Extremes, you want to reflect on. We definitely want to clear out extremes with every moon. Every lunation will be good for that. But we're recalibrating with the Aries super full moon in October, the give and take balance between self and other and the imbalanced exchanges. This is where we renew that. Deepening your dedication, recommitting to your goals, and finishing what you start. That's all good Aries full moon stuff. It's important to circle back and see what you started early in the year. When we get to the end of the year, it's going to be like, okay, did we finish that? Did we complete that project or that mission or that idea or that thought? Did we complete it? Get clear on the fundamentals, home and work, self and other. Very, very important. And so this one, we did the Hoodoo Deck by Tayana Lee McKeelor. This one they call Pa. When Pa appears in a reading, you are being asked to consider that you might not know everything there is to know about the situation at hand. Not only that, but the details are possibly purposely hidden from you. Most likely there is no concrete proof that you're being deceived, but you undoubtedly sense something is wrong. Pa may also be trying to tell you that sometimes you must seek truths that have been intentionally veiled or obscured by darkness to protect them. Everyone knows the most valuable and precious items are kept out of reach from casual browsers or lazy thieves who don't want to do the work to attain them for themselves. This is why our money, jewels, and other precious things are kept in boxes, vaults, or other secure, inconspicuous locations where they will be safe. So it is with certain knowledge as well. True that. Another meaning of Pa could be highlighting the necessity to get treatment for anxieties and depression or to face your fears. Seek clarity. And then they have a bullets list that says consider the following. And this is for our Aries super full moon, October 17th of 24. You might be being deceived by someone. You are in danger of delusional thinking. You know you have some inner demons. Are you ready to face them? Whatever or whoever is getting on your nerves has to go. It is affecting your health. Don't ignore that bad feeling or you'll be sorry. So again, with not ignoring your intuition, psychic, intuitive, empathic, sensory perception, things you're picking up, don't ignore it. Question it. You don't have to act on everything, but you got to question and ask if action is necessary. Try not to be such a wimp. A smile is a frown turned upside down. This is the dark side of the force. Okay, so I'm going to say do comedy, y'all. Please, if you get into that dark space of, you know, whatever is going on at the time, please turn to some comedy, turn on some poetry, do Deaf Poets or Deaf Comedy Jam. This is the dark side of the force. You're as phony as a $3 bill, so stop it. Yes, so no fake or phony in the new year. Let's not do that. Just say no. I'd rather say no to something that I'm not even capable. Y'all know that. With my Sag rising and all my Aries, I'm Virgo. There's no faking the funk over here. But folks do it in the street, and it's just not going to work in the future. Self-deception is ultimately self-destruction. What's the meaning of that dream you had? Okay, be sure to keep track of your dreams, y'all. That's coming up all through. All moon work can be linked to dreams, too. Try to understand the perspective of the weird or eccentric person who's come into your life. After you clear your head, you'll be able to find your way again. Think of ways to express your creativity. There's healing in that, I say. Pay attention to signs, visions, and warnings. Yes, yes, yes. Remember your instincts. That's what we're activating on both Aries and new moons. New moon, full moon, doesn't matter. Play with your instincts and make sure they're strong. And that is it. I did it in 90 minutes, y'all. Deep breath. I'm happy to do a drum journey for anyone that wants to hang, but I understand that it's late and we went a long time, and I'm very grateful for those who could hold it down live. I will hook it up and post it on my podcast and YouTube channels, and you will get a note directly with your personal activations for these lunations. That will be interesting to know where it lands for you personally. So for those of you who don't know, you will find out in a second email from me that comes directly to you. All right, y'all, star 6, and let me know how you're feeling.
It is Kim again. I thought it was great. I have a lot to think about at the end of the year. I'm quiet because I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, there's a lot at the end of the year. So yes, it's great stuff.
And we can circle back to this along the way to remind ourselves or to review the divinations or whatever. So what did you think of the breakdown of all the moons?
I really did. I thought it was great. I was like, yes. I love looking at all of it, looking at the numbers. There's a few numbers aligned. So I thought that was interesting. Made me look at all the moons. So I've never really – I have a whole listing of them, but I don't ever really look. And this made me go look.
Very good. I want to make you go look. That's excellent. All right, y'all. Well, peace and love. I will stop the recording and let you go. And be in touch. Reach out directly if you need to. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being here, for your contributions of energy and otherwise. Thank you all. This is Kelly signing off. Be well.